Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, you know, ordinarily we go behind the headlines during the first segment of the show each week. However, we do that when the headlines need explanation by a local expert who can help us understand them. This morning we're bringing you a headline, yes, during this segment of the show, because the expert happens to be the one who provided the research that created the headline. So we not only get to go behind it, we'll get the straight scoop from the researcher himself. To that end, let me introduce you to Dr. Stephen Jungentaub. He is a professor and vice chair of SUNY Upstate's Department of Neuroscience and Physiology. Good morning, Dr. Jungentaub.
Morning.
So this is headline research I saw everywhere, TV, print, the internet, even U.S. News and World Report. Let's begin with the bottom line. Tell us what it was we were reading.
Well, you're reading about a study that we recently published in Behavioral Neuroscience that looks at what we're interested in my laboratory, which is the biological underpinning for a fairly well-documented human phenomena.
A human phenomenon having to do with?
With alcohol abuse and intake.
Okay, so were you studying people that have alcohol problems?
No, in our study we were using an animal model, since to do the kind of study that we needed to do, it would be fundamentally unethical to feed pregnant moms ethanol and then study their children afterwards.
Exactly. So first of all, ethanol. You're using the word ethanol in exchange with alcohol, but they're the same thing in your lab, am I right?
Correct.
Okay. It's not. It might be the same that we put into our cars, but in this case you're talking about alcohol that we would drink.
Correct.
And pregnant moms who are alcoholic? But in this case, they're rats.
Correct.
Okay. So tell me what you found. What were the findings? What was the big splash in the media?
So the big splash is really the basis for a human epidemiologic finding.
Okay.
And so the human clinical work shows quite clearly that the number one predictor of adolescent ethanol intake and abuse is prior fetal exposure.
All right, so let's spell that out so that we regular non-researchers can understand it. If I understand you correctly, that means that children who begin to drink alcohol in the adolescent age are predisposed to do that because their mothers were alcoholic?
That's what the human epidemiology would suggest. They have a higher propensity for intake and ultimately abuse during adolescence.
Okay. First of all, you're studying rats to figure that out. Why rats? Why not just human beings themselves?
Well, as I said, you can't take a pregnant human mom and feed her ethanol throughout gestation. It would just be completely unethical.
It would be unethical. And the other thing is, even moms who are already alcoholic, they won't tell you who they are, will they?
No, at least in this country, trying to find moms that will self-report would put themselves in some significant legal risk, I would believe.
Have studies been done on humans? I know you said they're unethical, but have they been done?
Well, so one of the bases for why we did this animal study was work that was done in Argentina, where it was easy to identify alcoholic moms and then study their children subsequent or after birth.
Okay.
And one of the findings from those studies in Argentina was that if you looked at the children within 48 hours after birth of alcoholic moms, that these babies had an orienting response to ethanol odor.
Oh my gosh.
That was not that you don't see in normal children.
And did you find that with your rats as well?
Yes. So actually we find a number of things. So if we expose rat moms to ethanol and then look at their progeny as early infants, these animals have an orienting response to ethanol odor.
Which means they liked it.
They like the odor.
Okay.
More than control animals. And these animals will accept significantly more ethanol than will an animal that hasn't had the exposure during pregnancy.
Wow, that's fascinating. How do you translate that? I mean, what would be the basis for that? Are you studying physiological changes or neurological changes?
So the answer is yes. We do both. We study both the behavior of the animal and the physiology of the animal.
Okay.
And so it's not only that the behavior changes, but the physiology of the sense of smell also changes. It actually becomes tuned to ethanol odor. The responses to ethanol odor are enhanced in animals that had fetal exposure.
Wow. So this is very much a physical response that they're having.
Correct.
Interesting. Are there other studies about the smells with mothers who are pregnant and their babies?
So there have been at least one other sort of parallel study to the ethanol study in Argentina where somebody was interested in this and actually fed anise odor to some pregnant females.
Anise like licorice?
Yeah, licorice.
Uh-huh.
To human moms. And 2 days before the babies were born and a couple days after the babies are born, you find that these babies actually have an orienting response to anise odor.
Oh, that's interesting. Can you explain it? What do you know about science previous to this that would explain that response?
So it's been fairly well documented that animals, one of the ways that animals learn about what's good to eat, mm-hmm, in the environment is what mom ate during pregnancy.
Really?
One of my favorite titles for some of my talks is Does Mother Nature Always Know Best?
And does she?
Not always.
Okay.
That is that you have this normal adaptive process. One of the ways that that animals learn what's good to eat is by virtue of what mom ate during pregnancy.
Mm.
They actually become tuned, their sense of smell, the sense of taste becomes tuned to the specific odor, and at the appropriate time when they're weaned and they go out foraging, they orient towards the food substances that contain those odors.
Interesting. Can we translate that then to other things? If mom eats lots of good vegetables, then babies will be interested in vegetables. Or if, you know, mom's great into donuts every morning, babies, can you translate it that way?
People would like to do that. I'm not willing to do so because,
okay,
because I think human responses are a bit more complex, and it's there are many more factors than we would like to consider,
mm-hmm,
in a very specific animal model.
We have choices we can make that animals might not be able to make.
Correct.
I see. Interesting. Okay, so now you study that and you learn that infants have this response, but this research was about adolescents. So, no?
No. It was about infants and adults.
Okay. All right. Well, explain to me then how we get to this thing about adolescence.
Okay, so as I said earlier, so there's this progressive pattern,
mm-hmm,
that's known in the human epidemiologic literature, that prior fetal exposure increases the risk for adolescent abuse, and the earlier the onset of adolescent intake and use, the higher the chances that as an adult, these kids will be abusers.
Uh-huh.
So that's the progressive pattern that's been well documented in the human epidemiologic literature.
Okay.
All right. So what we wanted to see is what's the limits of this phenomena. So in the experiments that we did, we looked at early infants,
mm-hmm,
and then we looked at adult littermates. So animals that got fetal exposure were either studied as infants where they were studied as adults.
Okay, and they were all the same mom and the same litter.
Correct.
Okay.
What we see is that if they only get fetal exposure, that you see this enhanced response to ethanol odor and enhanced intake as infants. But if you look at different animals that had the fetal exposure, but then you look at them as adults, the phenomena goes away.
Oh, it does.
Correct.
So if they don't have any exposure from the time they're born until they become adults, they're pretty much okay?
That would seem to, that would be what's suggested from,
really?
From our animal literature.
Interesting. But what if they do have that exposure?
So what I can tell you is that the phenomena does exist to adolescence.
Okay.
So somewhere between adolescence, mm-hmm, and adulthood, if there's no subsequent re-exposure, the phenomena goes away.
Very interesting.
Now, the bad news is that we have data that shows that given the fact that the fetal exposure yields a similar response in adolescents,
mm-hmm,
if you now give these animals a re-exposure, a second exposure during adolescence, then the animals actually have an enhanced response to the fetal experience, and it persists into adulthood.
I see.
So we have a very nice animal model for the clinical epidemiology.
I see. So in other words, if the parent can protect the child from the time they're born, or if somebody can protect that child from the time they're born until they're adults, they'll probably be okay. But if that child's exposed to alcohol before adulthood, during adolescence, then there's a chance they will become alcoholic as well?
Well, at least in terms of this underlying mechanism.
I see.
Okay. I mean, alcohol intake and abuse is a complex issue,
mm-hmm.
and we are looking at probably one facet of a constellation of factors that impact adolescent intake and abuse.
How can we translate that? If we have a woman who's pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant now, how do you translate this kind of research to her?
I think it would be safe to say that all things being equal, there's probably no time during pregnancy that it's safe to drink alcohol.
At all.
At all.
And so she should just avoid alcohol altogether?
That would certainly be a recommendation
yeah.
I would give to anybody that I knew.
Because if you don't have that initial exposure for the baby, then you may not have a problem at all and not even have to worry about adolescence exposures.
I'm not sure I would go quite that far, but at least we would be able to eliminate one element that we believe is a contributing factor.
Okay. Very good. You know, I still have a whole bunch more questions. Can you stay with us through the news and we'll come back and talk about it some more?
Be happy to.
That'd be great. And listeners, we do need to take a break for the news, but we'll be back shortly. Please stay with us. This is University Hospitals HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.